Too many of us view life only through the lens of immediate self-interest and crass materialism, in which the world is necessarily a zero-sum game. The strong too often dominate the weak.
Well, when I heard President Obama speak those words at Notre Dame on Sunday, I thought to myself, well, exactly, Mr. President. The strong do often dominate the weak. If you think about the mother who enters the abortion clinic as the strong and the weak as the unborn in her womb, I can think of no greater example of the strong dominating the weak than abortion on demand for 35-plus years in the United States. I don't think that's how the president was thinking of his words. How did the media cover President Obama's visit to Notre Dame? We got to see the speech and some of the protest. Was it the whole story? Colleen Carol Campbell joins us. She's a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and author of a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
In your opinion, what was the biggest blind spot that the media entertained about President Obama's visit to Notre Dame?
Well, in terms of concrete omissions from the press coverage, I think the lack of coverage of the estimated 2,000 people who filled the main quad at Notre Dame to protest this was the biggest oversight. We saw a lot of coverage of the 100 or so very vocal protesters outside the gates of Notre Dame, many of them veteran protesters and very outspoken, some of their methods disputed by other pro-lifers in terms of the signs they carry and the slogans they shout. We saw a lot of those people. And then, of course, we saw President Obama and the cheering crowd in the Joyce Center. What we didn't see a lot of is coverage of the large open-air pro-life mass and rally that attracted, that was organized by students, attended by some estimates as by dozens of faculty members, presided over by the local bishop, and by some estimates attracted upwards of 1,000 plus, even 2,000 people. That just really was overlooked entirely in the coverage. Sometimes you'd see one line about it in some of the stories. But I think the larger story that was missed here by the press was the significance of the backlash from rank-and-file Catholics against not only Notre Dame's decision to bring Obama to campus and honor him, but specifically to give him an honorary degree. That was the real sticking point for a lot of pro-life Catholics. And, you know, we hear a lot about this script in the mainstream media about within Catholicism, it's the clergy versus the laity, you know, the rules versus what the people want. But actually, the real struggle in American Catholicism today is between faithful, practicing pro-life Catholics and what are commonly known as cafeteria Catholics. And that was really what I think this struggle was about. And I think the backlash we saw from pro-life committed Catholics to this honorary degree for President Obama was a sign that they're really getting fed up with this watered-down Catholic identity of universities like Notre Dame.
It seems that's the real big story here. I mean, presidents have spoken at Notre Dame before and received honorary degrees, and as big as that story is with respect to President Obama, the bigger story, the more consequential story, would seem this two Roman Catholicisms that exist in America.
Well, that's right. And again, this backlash was much more significant than we've seen to prior commencement speakers who were objectionable in some way or people who received honorary degrees despite their stridently pro-abortion views. I mean, we're talking 367,000 Catholics who signed an online petition against Notre Dame's decision to honor Obama. There are, as of today, over 80 Catholic bishops who have come out and publicly denounced the decision of Notre Dame, which, if you think about the fact that none of those bishops preside over the diocese where this was actually done. I mean, the one who presides there, John Darcy, also denounced it. But these are, you know, 80-plus other bishops stepping forward to make their voices known. And as yet, I've yet to see one bishop publicly come out and support Notre Dame's decision. So that's significant. And finally, there was an alumni drive to withhold donations in protest. And the latest count was upwards of $8 million withheld in protest. So this was a serious response, and I think it was far more than Notre Dame administrators expected, in part because they've been getting away with this sort of thing for decades. And I think they were honestly taken aback that suddenly people were saying, you know, enough is enough. This man is on the absolute wrong side of the leading civil rights issue of our time, which is the right to life of the vulnerable and unborn. And a Catholic university should not be giving him an honorary degree. It was interesting, of course, that he also spoke at two other campuses this commencement season, neither of whom gave him an honorary degree, but sadly it was the Catholic university that did. And I think that's what really got a lot of pro-life Catholics riled up.
What is to be done here? I think cynically sometimes I look at a university like Notre Dame and say they should drop all pretense of being connected to the Roman Catholic Church. And if they want to be cherish that as part of their history and heritage, same with Yale or Princeton would cherish a kind of a nominal Christian heritage, fine, but don't wave the Vatican flag when it's convenient to you. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that's certainly the feeling, I think, of a lot of Catholics, and we've even heard some bishops express something to that effect. I mean, Cardinal George, who's the president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference, said flat out, I don't think Notre Dame understands what it means to be a Catholic university. And I think a lot of Catholics feel that way, not simply about the University of Notre Dame, but many Catholic schools, where, as you said, they do fly the flag when it's convenient. And boy, if you're an alum of these schools, I mean, all you hear is Catholic this and Catholic that, and then when you're actually on campus, it's a very different story. So I think that is a great frustration. On the other hand, it's important to note that there is this core of serious, committed, pro-life Catholics at many of these institutions who are working behind the scenes to make a difference. They don't have the support of the administration. Often they're bucking the administration. But I know the students at Notre Dame were pretty coordinated in their response, the students who did oppose this. And they were very careful to put on intellectual symposiums on this topic, to bring in speakers, to organize protests and masses that were obviously peaceful and respectful, but at the same time very clear on their purpose. So there are pockets of resistance in even what seem to be the most far-gone Catholic universities, and of course we know that's probably Notre Dame is not even in that camp. Unfortunately, there are certainly worse. I mean, at a place like Georgetown, this sort of thing happens all the time, but people just shrug and say, well, what do you expect? It's Georgetown. But even there are students and some courageous faculty who are standing up and working within those systems to bring about change. So, you know, I think maybe the solution is both and. You want to encourage those people, but also there are some people starting new Catholic colleges straight, just basically out of nothing and just saying, let's just start over with a college that's going to be serious about its Catholic identity. And I think both approaches are good.
So was this in financial terms, was this a buy or a sell for Notre Dame? Did they gain something that made worth it all the protest and perhaps the withheld support, dollars, and goodwill?
I don't think they did. I think especially the way they openly flouted the bishops and Reverend John Jenkins, the president of Notre Dame, his pretty in-your-face remarks leading up to this and even at the commencement ceremony, I think Notre Dame's going to pay for that. I mean, people who've been paying attention to what's going on at Notre Dame for decades were not too surprised by the honorary degree. But I think a lot of people haven't paid attention, and they still sort of associate Notre Dame with the values Notre Dame was defending in the 50s. And so I think there's a sense now that people are paying a lot of attention, not just to Notre Dame, but to Catholic universities and colleges across America, and saying, hey, don't come to me with your fundraising plea unless you want to live the Catholic faith that you're using so conveniently when you want to get me to send my kid to your school. And so I think at the end of the day, Notre Dame may have lost, even though it looked like a victory on Sunday, judging by the media reports.
What did the president gain?
I think it was a very good venue for the president. I think he was very savvy to accept the invitation. Who wouldn't? You've alienated many Catholics who voted for you, who you said you would be moderate on abortion. Your first couple moves on abortion have been very strident and not compromising at all. And so why not go to the nation's leading Catholic university and get their imprimatur as you sell your live and let live version of the answer to America's abortion debate? So I think for him it was fine, and I think he was speaking to a crowd that unfortunately wasn't too concerned about Catholic doctrine on this issue, so it was a win for him. But again, I think if you look closely at his argument, it's the same argument we've heard down through the ages whenever there was a social injustice that someone wanted us to overlook and just turn aside. It's, hey, let's agree to disagree. Let's just dialogue. We don't need to change anything. But, you know, that's a morally insufficient response when you're talking about the denial of basic human rights to an entire class of human beings. And ultimately, I think people see that. And we saw a recent Gallup poll just last week showing that more Americans today call themselves pro-life than pro-choice, in what's a reversal from even just a year ago. So I think Obama has a real problem on his hands when it comes to abortion. Unfortunately, Notre Dame gave him a venue to continue this sort of spin game, but I think a lot of Catholics and other Americans are waking up to it.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, it's Ascension Day, and when we come back, as the church, many churches prepare to celebrate the ascension of Christ, this evening we're going to do a little review of the ascension of Christ in Scripture. Not only the event, but it is of a theological significance that is often underestimated. Christians fail to see sometimes what it means that Christ has ascended to the right hand of God, sits at the right hand of God, and has promised to return from there in the same way that he left. What does the ascension of Christ mean for you and me? We'll answer that question with Dr. Richard Schutte of Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, right after this. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.